Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
And gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host Alfred Addis to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, August 8th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Welcome back.
I didn't even go anywhere.
I know.
But well, it's good to be welcomed back regardless.
I missed. But I didn't miss performance in gold today, but you know, she's still at 13.12, 13.12.30, down $1.80. You know, gold was all over the page, 13.04 to 13.14, and settling in around the 13.12 level. High stock market prices today, so in response to supposedly Russia is backing off. I mean, it's just so stupid the way these markets, I mean, just. Silver's down 2 cents at 20.02. Platinum was down 3 at 14.78, and palladium up 6 at 865. And we have the USDX today trading stronger, up 0.11 at 81.51, along with crude oil that's also up 22 at 97.56. And the paper markets today. Oh, it just doesn't matter what happens in the news, but the Dow is up 185 points today at $16,554. I guess the markets are really happy that we bombed Iraq, so that we're just going in there doing some strategic, select.
It's the bombing. American way, Mel.
The American way.
Yes.
Hey, let's bomb and have a party.
Bomb, 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 Iraq.
Yeah. The NASDAQ was up 36 at 43.71. I mean, for people who own paper, I mean, I'm glad that their paper is performing. But they need to be aware the fundamental reasons that the papers are performing isn't because of a good, strong economy. They're being fixed by the Federal Reserve and all the stimulus that's being thrown into the markets. So the markets aren't real. That's what you have to understand.
Well, as long as you're dealing with paper, you're dealing with an illusion.
You're dealing with an illusion anyway. However, it's more of an illusion when you have stimulus coming into the market, trillions of dollars.
Yeah, if it's just paper, that's one thing. If it's manipulated paper, that's another. That's a whole
other
level.
If it's free market paper, it's one thing.
Uh-huh. It's true.
We have the 10-year yield down 0.01 at 2.42%. Even saw predictions or heard predictions, didn't see predictions, but heard predictions. The 10-year yield could possibly break below 2% in 6 months, which I thought that was a pretty interesting forecast. But, you know, if you have people that are moving into moving out of some of the paper and into the bonds, you might see that happen. I know there's auctions next week that are going on, and the 10, the 2, and the 30, I believe. So it'll be interesting to see how those auctions are handled and if there's a demand. And so the timing for them is probably the best that they've had for a while. So we'll see what happens with that. And that's it for the market report. They did, we got some information on Iraq, and it also seems that the administration has ordered U.S. airlines not to fly over Iraq following the first U.S. airstrikes today.
Over Chicago either.
Yeah, there were other carriers from other nations that said they were suspending service to the Iraq city of Erbil. Because of the hostilities, the FAA, there's a notice to pilots saying that the ban was prompted, of course, by the potentially hazardous situation. And this applies to all U.S. registered planes, except those operated by foreign carriers and to FAA licensed pilots. There's some other ones, the Turkish Airlines, Germany's Lufthansa, they canceled flights to and from the northern city. And there's also... I think there was some other one. British Airways, they said they were going to temporarily suspend flights over Iraq. And so.
Well, this goes to, they've turned out today that two FA-18 jets dropped 500-pound laser-guided bombs on ISIL, the Islamic, I can't even remember what the, it used to be, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. They seem to change their name every couple of weeks. But in any case, we actually started bombing in Iraq again. And that means you better stay out of the sky. Because if anybody thinks there's an airplane or a drone or anything else, they're going to be shooting at it. It's just craziness. It's insanity. But anyway, there we are. We're back to bomb Iraq. All right. And President was just quoting from his Washington Times, and it says in part, speaking at the White House on Thursday night, the president said the U.S. cannot sit idly by as innocent Iraqis are slaughtered by al-Qaeda-inspired extremists. Now, of course, we could sit idly by while we shot-bombed and killed somewhere between 150,000 and 1 million Iraqis between AD 2003 and 2011. But none of the Iraqis our government killed were innocent. You see, we've got laser-guided bombs that are so technically sophisticated that they only kill the guilty, never the innocent. So we're not like the al-Qaeda-inspired extremists. And extremists, of course, are the only ones who kill innocent people, and we never, never do, never have, never will. Ask Obama. He'll tell you. In any case, we're back at war. We're killing people. That's what America's all about. So let's, yay, let's go out there and kill some people. We don't have enough will or resources to secure our own border and protect the United States of America from an invasion by illegal aliens. But we've got plenty of resources to protect the puppet government we installed in Iraq against an invasion by illegal extremists. I just wish we could elect somebody into public office in Washington, D.C., who was as interested in protecting the USA as they are in protecting the government of Iraq. Think we'll see it, Melody? We'll find any politicians anytime soon that are actually interested in protecting our borders?
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, certainly our borders need to be protected. This country needs to be protected. And certainly I don't think, I mean, this was bound to happen, but yet in that northern section, there are a lot of Christians in that area, and it's and you take out some of these leaders when these dictators were in there, Christians were able to live without being disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
You take them away, and now Christians are being slaughtered, and you don't ever hear anyone reporting on that. This one is a little touchy, but certainly we never should have went into Iraq to begin with, and certainly there was all special interest, the only reason, to go in there, and this is the result. And certainly when you're in that type of an atmosphere and you do decide to go in, leaving wasn't the way he did wasn't the right way. He had, he is not capable of making decisions that is good for this country when it comes to.
No, and it's hard to just write off the decisions he makes as mistakes.
They're not mistakes.
You see, time and time again, it seems that the decisions are really made contrary to our interests. And it's easy, it's easy to sit on one end of the political spectrum. It's easy to always pick at a president from a different part of the political spectrum, say he's doing bad things. But, it's hard to avoid that conclusion with Obama. One other thing, you mentioned special interests motivated our original invasion into Iraq, and I agree that that's behind much of what we're doing. We have special interests in Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Syria and wherever. There's some special interests all over the world, but the government doesn't recognize any special interests in Texas, and they don't recognize any special interests in New Mexico or in California or in Nevada or Colorado, states that are being invaded by illegal aliens. We don't have any special interests there. Our special interests are all overseas. It's wrong. It needs to be stopped. Got an article here from Conservative Byte. Go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing. Now they're more concerned of, and the only reason we're probably doing that is because we do have the embassy over there. It cost almost $1 billion to build. It's a huge embassy over there.
$1 billion. What are you whining about, $1 billion, Melody? You act as if somebody thinks that's big money.
Not when it costs more than $2 trillion. That's what the Iraqi war has cost us, over $2 trillion.
Well, that's $2 trillion. That's something to think about. But $1 billion, it's chump change. Nobody cares about $1 billion.
For a U.S. embassy, that is a lot.
Yeah, it's probably a lot for a U.S. embassy.
10 years ago when it was built, it was probably, in the same terms as $5 billion. Maybe not quite, but so, 10 years ago when it was built, $700 billion, it was a lot then.
Got another article here from Conservative Bites. Russian bombers penetrated U.S. airspace. Russian strategic nuclear bombers conducted at least 16 incursions in the northwestern United States air defense identification zones over the past 10 days. They're talking about up in the vicinity of Alaska. An unusually sharp increase in aerial penetrations, according to U.S. defense officials. The numerous flight encounters by Tu-95 Russian Bear bombers prompted the scrambling of U.S. jet fighters on several occasions and comes amid the heightened U.S.-Russia tensions over the Ukraine. And all I'm saying is, we are bombing people in Iraq now, and the Russians are taking their bombers, and they're sneaking into U.S. airspace every once in a while just to needle us a little bit. And you just wonder, how long can we continue to play these goofy games before somebody does something really, really stupid?
Well, let me ask you a question, Al. Is this stupid? John McCain, Senator John McCain, he says it's time for the U.S. to ease restrictions on arms sales to Vietnam. He says that the U.S. should ease the ban on selling lethal arms to the communist country, saying it has progressed on human rights.
Well, is it stupid? I think what's stupid is the government would like to restrict the American people's access to weapons while increasing the access of foreign governments to weapons. I think that's the stupidity on this. if we're going to be disarmed, well, there's Jews for the Preservation of Firearms did a study on this back in the late 1990s, and they identified something like 15 separate countries and instances where the government persuaded the people to disarm. And shortly thereafter, the government began to engage in episodes of genocide against their own unarmed people. Nazi Germany is famous for being one of the first to persuade the people to disarm, but they're not the only ones. Soviet Union did it. Stalin disarmed people before he sent them off to camps. The result of disarmament is they have killed more people. More people have been killed by their own government when they were disarmed than have been killed in wars in the same over the 20th century. It's pretty amazing. And yet we have people, our government, disarm. You people need to be disarmed, you Americans, because it's just crazy that you have all these guns. But we'll arm the people in Vietnam. Maybe we should all become communists. And maybe the government would be willing to arm us if we declared ourselves to be communists. What do you think, Melody?
We're almost there, but...
Yeah, we really are. I'd say declare ourselves...
Yeah, it's all how you say it, socialism, and socialism is just a kinder, gentler way of saying communism. You know, people are against communism, but they embrace socialism. You know, it's kind of interesting. But there was an announcement. Kerry announced up to $18 million in aid to provide Vietnam's Coast Guard with 5 new fast patrol boats. He says it's in a broader U.S. effort to help Southeast Asian nations to defend waters they claim as their own.
So defend waters against who,
they
Melody?
Yes, they don't say.
Well, they don't. Well, I wonder who it could possibly be. Well, it's China, of course, because China and Vietnam have been sparring. So what we're doing now, I don't know. You just look
at this. It's crazy.
How far can this go before something extreme happens? We're going to impose financial sanctions on Russia. Eventually, Russia is going to impose financial sanctions on us. In fact, they've cut off the import of American agricultural products, and they've done other things besides that. China, we're going to go over and sell weapons to Vietnam while China holds $1 trillion of our debt. And they could flood the market with it if they cared to do so. I don't know what people are thinking about. You know, it's hard to imagine that this is part of an intelligence strategy. And it really just looks like the people in Washington are out of their minds. They're conducting foreign policy with a dartboard. They get up, blindfold themselves, throw darts at the dartboard, and that tells them what to do. Or maybe a Ouija board, or who knows. But it's not making sense. But if we're going to send weapons and speedboats to Vietnam, all we can do is antagonize the Chinese, and they're in a position to give us a certain amount of grief for it. We keep looking for it. Sooner or later, we're going to get it. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We still have $25 face value, 90% silver, free shipping on that, and also you get your free 1 ounce silver eagle for $425. That's 90% silver, $25 face value, 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And if you have any questions for the program, you can direct them to questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And I suspect, Al, if I can find it here, which I can't, if folks would like to give us a call today. Now, we love hearing from you, folks.
1-800-596-8191.
It's 1-800-596-8191. If you have a question, give us a call. And we'd love to hear from you. And it's maybe we should tag it question Friday questions. I don't know. Maybe not.
Except on Thursdays and
we'll
Wednesdays, Tuesdays, and Mondays. Well, other than that, we'll call Friday. Let's just do questions. That'll be easier to remember.
Okay.
Don't have to type as much.
All right.
We do have a letter here from one of the listeners. And on Wednesday, what it's about is on Wednesday, I read an article from credit.com that was republished on Yahoo Finance. The headline was How to Make an Extra $1,000 per Month. And judging from the headline, that article should have been timely and informative. Judging from the contents of the article, however, it was written for a third world nation. The recommendations for earning an extra $1,000 a month coming from credible financial analysts, I mean, credit.com and Yahoo Finance, they included selling your blood plasma, okay? Selling your sperm, dumpster diving, and allowing corporations and government to test experimental drugs on your body. Now, they had a couple other suggestions that were reasonable and rational. They wouldn't amount to much, but they weren't shocking. But these were, you know, when they start advocating sell blood plasma. Are you going a little broke? Well, you can always sell blood plasma or sell your sperm. Do some dumpster diving. Be a guinea pig for corporations and government. They can do experiments on your body. Melody wrote back, or she sent it, one of the listeners, Marge, wrote to us and said, she said she did the plasma donation thing, did it for a year and a half. After one has done it for some time, it gets harder and harder to pass the qualifying protein levels, iron levels, etc. The gal there said the longer one gives, this happens. Finally stopped doing it. Made about $200 a month when I did it, though. Have also dumpster dived in the past. Currently save and recycle cans. Social Security doesn't pay a whole lot, so you got to do what you got to do, right, Al? I agree with that. I'm not making fun. You know, in the article when I talked about this on Wednesday, some people may have misunderstood and thought I was making fun of the people that are compelled to sell blood plasma or do dumpster diving. That wasn't my point. I understand that people in desperate situations must do whatever they have to do to get by. My point was that seemingly credible financial advisors are handing out suggestions to Americans that I'd only expect to see in a third world country. These third world financial suggestions are evidence to me, shocking evidence of how far this nation and its economy have fallen. And that was the purpose of my little speech about dumpster diving as being a source of economic stimulus for the country. We need more people. We're looking for a few good dumpster divers. They'll save the country. I don't think so. The point, you know, one of the points behind this, do you want to do something to earn more money? How many of you would like to make an extra $1,000 a month? Well, the first thing you do is you get the treasonous whores out of the cat house in the Potomac and put somebody in there who is willing to, one, bring jobs and industries back into this country by raising tariffs, abandoning global free trade, and bringing industry back into this country. We're going to have to make our own stuff, build our own products. We're going to have to learn to survive without depending on China to make this stuff for us while we just sit back and in theory, survive with financial instruments and by going deeper into debt. You also want to get rid of the people in government who have allowed an invasion by illegal aliens who are taking many of the jobs that are left and taking them at wages that most Americans can't afford without being willing to slide into a third world nation status. You want to get that $1,000 a month? You're not going to get it right now. I don't have a solution where you can get an extra $1,000 a month right now. But if you don't run the treasonous whores out of the cat house on the Potomac, if you don't do it now, the day is not likely to come in your lifetime or mine when you're going to have an opportunity to earn an extra $1,000 a month. I can remember when I was younger, I've been through situations that were financially difficult. And I can remember working my way out of them. They were situations where I could get a job. If there was a problem, I could get another job. If there was a problem, I could start a different business. It wasn't easy and it wasn't instant wealth, but you could do it. There was opportunity if you're willing to work. Now, that's not necessarily true. Even if you're willing to work, is there opportunity to find jobs? Yeah, there's some, but not to the same extent as existed 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Nation's being ruined by its own government, and it's going to continue until you folks in the audience begin to work at removing the treasonous whores from the cat house on the Potomac. What do you think, Melody?
Well, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, we have November coming, folks. There's telephones. There's things you can do. You can become involved locally. Yes, it takes time, effort. I admire and respect anyone who can do that. I know people who do it. They try to get involved in the local politics. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But particularly but people that are retired,
but you got to recognize, folks have to recognize that politics is no longer just an interesting little debate. Your prosperity, and in some instances even your survival, may be affected by who's voted into office and who's voted out. This is no longer a little game. It's not just a little debate. This is serious business. And until you folks start to take it seriously and do something about the problems we're facing and recognize that much of that trouble emanates from Washington, D.C., you better do what you can to take care of them.
I think what we saw, too, in the past, we became so attached to one particular issue that, oh, if there was a top politician that was for that issue, we'd vote him no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, it just didn't matter whatever. And we failed to see the complete picture. And I think that's how and that's how politicians began to campaign just on a particular issue, knew they would be, and you didn't care about anything else. And sometimes your special issue really wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
Because if you stuck with the real problems of the country, your particular issue would be addressed properly. And so I don't see that happening now, but I did see it happen. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you saw how people just glogged on, whether it was...
It still happens to some degree.
To some degree, yeah.
People are just... And the government looks... They don't care. If you people want... If somebody does a survey that says the American people want green roofs, I guarantee you're going to see congressmen, senators, and presidents who are coming out in favor of green roofs because they've always been in favor of green roofs.
And it certainly works in the opposite, too. I mean, we saw that with Paul. He said all the right things in certain areas, but oh my gosh, if he said one thing that was against what, you know, all of a sudden the whole tide would turn negative on him. And it's like, no, folks, I mean, there isn't anyone out there that's going to be 100% perfect. There isn't.
Except me, and I'm not running. So.
Well, I know. I was going to say there's two of us then, Al, but...
too late to get our hats in the ring for this November, but yeah. Other than that,
if I had time, but
we can't afford. None of us can afford to be ignorant anymore, and we've taken it for granted that we could be as stupid as we wanted to be throughout most of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I just vote for anybody. Why? Well, I like his looks. I like her looks. I like whatever. You know, we've been electing California smiley faces to public office, and we wonder why we have problems. And much of the problem goes to we have played the fool. It's not just a question of government being the bad guys or people in Washington being the bad guys. That's a big part of it. But it's also because we collectively have insisted on our right to remain ignorant. Thomas Jefferson made the point. Any people, I may not be able to quote this exactly, but he said any people who believe that they can remain ignorant and also free are expecting something that's never happened and never will happen. You want to maintain freedom, and everybody pays lip service to it. I don't know how many people actually care about being free, but they do care about being prosperous. If you want to be prosperous, you've got to get involved, and not just in the sense of leaning on your friendly local politician or your congressman or whatever. You have to make the effort to educate yourself, where you don't simply respond to idiotic proposals like, let's paint everybody's roof green. Right? You have to educate yourself, especially, and it's hard to do in this world. This is no longer a simple world. It's complex and confusing. And hard to know what the best thing is. And yet we have to make the effort to figure that out. Because if we don't, we're just going to head into a period of time where we're going to have a very serious problem. And the problem will persist until enough people get their heads screwed on straight and they start doing the right thing rather than the popular thing or even the dumb thing. So what else do we have, Melody?
Well, I just want to, I'm sure they're not listening, but we do have to keep the folks in Hawaii. I have many Hawaiian clients, and they're certainly being hit with two hurricanes, and they also had a earthquake, and so they're going to have a couple of rough days there. So, you know, I think we need to keep that in mind. That something happened. No one ever talks about Hawaii except, you know, for vacation and so forth.
And the travel agents.
The travel agents. And also this weekend, there's going to be a super moon. It's going to be a full moon. On August 10th.
Is it going to be bigger than usual?
Actually, it's called the super moon. It's the closest and largest full moon in 2014. And when the moon is full, as it makes its closest pass to the Earth, it becomes a super moon, and it's going to be 31,000 miles closer to Earth than other full moons this year. So I suggest and recommend that people stay home on Sunday. So,
because don't want to bump your head on the moon, is that what you're saying?
You know, it does affect.
Getting that close, Melody. No stepladders. You understand? Just stay off those high elevations because...
Well, you know, crazy things happen to people at full moon.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in Chicago. That'll just be another excuse. The gunfire. You know, for what it's worth, we had a 4th of July here in Dallas back, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And I can remember they had... An announcer went down to the Cotton Bowl, which is on the south side of Dallas, and it's primarily African Americans living down there. And this reporter was in the middle of the Cotton Bowl. It was night, coming on midnight, and maybe it was New Year's Eve. That's what I think it was. When I think about it now, it wasn't 4th of July, it was New Year's Eve. They'd heard that there might be a little gunfire down there. It turned midnight, and gunfire on the south side of Dallas erupted. And it was not bang, bang, bang. It was brrr, brrr. I mean, there were people outside the stadium, but they were armed with automatic weapons, and they were just blasting those things into the sky. And I can remember the announcer when the sounds started to break loose. At first, she was just confident and everything. When the sounds started to break loose, she was ready to run for cover. It was something strange. So, I don't know. There are guns in this country, and there are going to be guns in this country. And anybody who wants to take the guns out of this country, first thing you do is get the drugs out of this country. Let's see you do that. Because you'll get the drugs out of this country long before you'll get the guns out of this country. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
since the beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give Melody a call. It's got some great specials. Got an article here called, for this is from Ms. Shedlock at Global Economic Analysis, and this is just scary. I mean, some things are ridiculous and some things are absurd, but some things are scary. For me, this is one of them. The headline is, Fed study finds 52% cannot afford an unexpected $400 expense. A federal study shows that 4 out of 10 American households, 40%, were straining financially 5 years after the Great Recession. Don't forget, the Great Recession ended back in 2009, so we're not in a recession anymore, at least according to the official vote. But still, 40% of the American households are straining 5 years after the Great Recession has allegedly ended. The federal report is entitled Economic Well-Being of U.S. Households in 2013, and some of the key findings. One-fourth said they were just getting by financially, and another 13% they were struggling to do so. That implies, again, 40% of the American people are just about broke right now. Among those who had savings prior to 2008, 57% reported using up some or all of their savings in the Great Recession and its aftermath. Now, savings are important and necessary, critical for all of us. We all know that. And these savings got these people through the Great Recession and what they describe as its aftermath. But is the aftermath done? And what happens when you run out of savings? 52% of respondents said that they could not completely cover a hypothetical emergency expense costing $400 without selling something or borrowing money. 52% of Americans don't have $400 in savings. 52%. That is scary. All right. What happens? You know, people talk about a worst case scenario. People talk about an economic collapse and a financial cataclysm or whatever. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. You know, again, I've said it a bunch of times. Worst case is also the least likely case, just by definition. But still, how bad do things have to get where $400 in savings is wiped out? 52% of the American people have $400 or less in savings right now. And that cannot bode well for the future. Where are we going to get the capital we need to invest in a new shopping center or new homes or whatever? This is one of the results of shipping our jobs overseas, lowering tariffs, and yay, hooray for global free trade. We'll just lower our tariffs and move our industries over to China or someplace and take jobs with them. This is one of the consequences of that. And more than likely, that number is going to continue to grow. And inevitably, at some point in the future, there's going to be a day where all of a sudden we're going to have a serious national problem, and people, most people, are going to have $400 or less in savings. And how will they deal with that problem if it lasts just a few weeks? For me, this is, frightening. Speaking of retirement, almost half the respondents had not planned financially for retirement. 31% of respondents reported having no retirement savings or pension, including 19% of those aged 55 to 64, and 25% didn't know how they will pay their expenses in retirement. 31%. No retirement savings or pensions. I can understand that that a lot of people don't have pensions. A lot of people just haven't worked for corporations or businesses or whatever that provided for pensions, and they may not have set up a pension on their own. What I don't understand, just from reading this article, when they say no pensions, is it possible that talking about people who know 31%? And does that include people who no pensions, including no access to Social Security? It doesn't say that. And I don't know if they mean to equate Social Security with a pension system. But still, the golden years are not going to be all that golden for a lot of people who are coming into retirement age. We're going to see some serious problems there. And what's the lesson in all of this? The big lesson is you got to save something. You have to make it your business to save. And if it means that you can't go out for dinner, if it means you're not going to buy a new car, if it means you're not going to take a vacation, you're going to have to cut, but you got to save. And when you do, you're going to have to save in a medium that is not likely to be destroyed or badly devalued in the event of some sort of an economic problem. If you're going to save, it just makes sense to save a substantial part of your wealth in the forms of gold or silver coins. Worst case scenario, you're just making a wise investment that over years is going to pay off. When I say worst case, actually, I mean a best case scenario. We actually don't have an economic problem. We muddle through. We somehow survive the problems that are facing us. All right, fine. You'll make your money back. You'll get your money back on the coins. Over a period of time, they will appreciate in value. They have for years, and they will continue to do so. Worst case scenario, the coins might help to keep you alive. They might help to buy homes. People right now, what do you think is going to happen if 52% of the American people don't have $400 in savings? One of the great dangers for those people is the time is fast approaching when they're going to have to sell their house or their car or whatever it is they do own, and they're going to be lucky to get 20 cents on the dollar. But they're going to have to sell it to have some money in order to have something to eat. And that's unfortunate, and it's sad, and if they had any savings, they could avoid that. But the flip side is, if some people are sensible enough to foresee what might be headed our way, and they have savings, they're going to be in a position, there's going to be people who will be glad to sell that house for 20%. And they'll be particularly glad if they can be paid in gold or silver. The lesson in all of this is that, number one, the United States does not have adequate savings. And if you were wise, you would make it your business to start saving. Not 5% a month. You got to start making it your business. See if you can figure out a way where you can save 10%, 20% more. Work at it. Save something, or you're going to be headed for what may be an economic problem. It won't be a good time to be broke. won't be a good time to rely on the government for your support. And if you have gold and silver, your problems will be minimized. No one's problems will be completely eliminated. Yours will be minimized, mitigated, diminished. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, you know, you talk about the people that are retiring, the retirement age, 55 to 64. But you have to look at the ones younger than that. I mean, they're part-time workers. When you're part-time, you don't receive retirement benefits at work.
That's true.
And even if, you know, we're talking about a $400 emergency expense with Obamacare. You've got corporations that have to comply, 2015. You know, we're going to have another glut of people that are going to be thrown out of their current insurance policies. You know, mark my word, after the elections, you're going to start seeing more reports of people getting canned from their insurance policies and having to go and get government insurance.
And what good is that going to be? It's like FDIC insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? FDIC insurance is fine. As long as no more than 3, 4, 5 banks go broke at the same time.
Yeah.
But if something happens and 3, 4, 5 significant banks go broke at the same time, guess what? FDIC is gone, exhausted, counts for nothing. There is no FDIC insurance. What happens if there's a major health crisis in this country? How many of you think you're going to get free medical care out of the government? It just won't be available.
Well, there might be free medical solutions like the shots that they'll pass around, and you won't have an option to say no because you have no other choice. I mean, that's the whole point of preserving your wealth through gold and silver. It gives you choices. It gives you a degree of freedom that no one else will have when they're strapped, and they have to comply to what the government tells them. That's the difference. Gold and silver is in part your, to some degree, your freedom. It allows you to make choices. It allows you to do the alternative. And without it, you may as well get in line with everybody else.
Yeah.
And they know that.
Yeah, no.
That's why 50% of the population gets a check from Washington. And the other half is involved in Wall Street. They got you coming and going. So it's just a matter of where you want to be. And, you know, I saw a comment. Somebody made a comment. Oh, well, you know, slavery was ended so many years ago. Really?
Yeah, it might have been ended for a while. Right? But it doesn't mean that there is no slavery or there's not going to be slavery again. There are people who can make a compelling, you know, the tax burden, total tax burden in this country when I was a kid, average man was paying maybe 15% of his total income into local, state, and federal taxes. Today, the average man is paying probably 55, 60%, and it could be more than that. Now, you may say you're not a slave, but you're paying more of your money to Uncle Sam and all of his little friends right now than the average sharecropper did, black sharecroppers did, to the massa down in the South after slavery was allegedly ended, but they were sharecroppers. They were living in poverty. You're in worse shape than they were. If slavery has ever been ended, it hasn't been permanently ended, and don't suppose that you couldn't wind up in that situation again. And it could be that you're already there and you just don't have brains enough to know it. You know, we're conditioned to believe that slavery is something where you put a chain around somebody's neck.
That's what I was just going to say. The pictures of slavery has changed, but it's still slavery.
The whole idea behind slavery is what? That you can derive economic benefit from someone else's labor. Mm-hmm. Put them to work. You don't pay them. You pay them little or nothing, just enough to survive, and you get the profits. You can look at the American system right now, and we look at income inequality. Top 0.1% is, I don't remember how many, you know, how much money they have in proportion to the other 99.5%. But it's an enormous variation. I guarantee you, the people in the middle class are being wiped out by people who say, let's feed off them, let's predate on the middle class. And it's a terrible thing. And very few people are going to sit back and say that's evidence of slavery. Most people would say, well, that's just, you know, hyperbole, that's exaggeration. Guy's crazy to make that comparison. It's not, mathematically, it's not ridiculous. Bill Clinton's, when he was in office, he said he predicted, at that point, it was 55% of the average man's gross was being paid into taxes. At that point, Clinton predicted that the next generation would pay 80% into taxes. And yet they're going to tell you you're free when you get to keep only $1 out of every $5 that you earn, but you're a free man, a free woman? It is not unreasonable, irrational to sit back and say, you know, we aren't so far from slavery right now, and maybe the only difference between us and people who've been slaves in the past is that they know it and we don't. But if you look at the numbers and you start to think about it, you sit back and say, you know, that just not might not be. Maybe we are already at a point of slavery, or at least being groomed to accept it, where we won't find it remarkable that we work for next to nothing and we barely survive, and yet that's where we seem to be heading. What do you think, Melody? Where are you heading?
Well, I think we're heading to a close.
Yeah, but we got about 30 seconds to go.
We got this great little silver package going on today for $425. $25 face value, 90% quarters, includes free shipping and 1 ounce silver eagle. So it's a great little package for $425. You can buy 1, 2, or 10. But, you know, it's difficult to go against the stream. It's difficult to go against your financial brokers. It's difficult to go against what mainstream financial programs are telling you. You have to have an understanding and, you know, put those blinders on and know what's right. And give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Did that take care of the 30 seconds, Al?
That's 30 seconds and maybe another 5 on top of that. 35 seconds for good measure. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. Meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money. Money, always funny in a rich man's world.